This is the audio version of a post I wrote on my page, which is called Wrestling With. These posts are designated as posts where I'm having a personal struggle with an idea or a concept, not to necessarily conclude anything, but to honestly put them on display for me and perhaps for other readers to see where the difficulty lies. Nowhere are we told that our salvation or our redemption depends on understanding everything. Yet understanding is important when it's accurate. I love what St. Augustine said, "Lord, help me believe that I may be able to understand, and help me understand that I may be able to believe." It's a spiral of belief to understanding, to belief to understanding, to more belief, to more understanding. Wrestling with the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is inescapable as both a physical substance and a concept in the New Testament. As a substance, we read that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus struggled in agony, and that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Is this metaphor, or was the sweat imbued with blood from overwhelming stress? Then, with the crucifixion itself, the clearly literal drops were blood, from both the nails in his hands and feet and the sword that pierced his side after he died. This shedding of blood occurred during the Passover, and this ties it inescapably to the atoning value of blood in the Old Testament, where over and over again, blood must be shed to atone for the people's sins. As Jacob Melgrum put it, blood functioned as a ritual detergent among the Jews. It is this atoning aspect of blood that is the concept, and it is the concept with which I wrestle. We are told, first in Leviticus 17 and again in Hebrews 9, that without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sin. In what way is there no forgiveness without the shedding of blood? If you see no difficulties with the implications, then don't read this post. It's for those who struggle. For many Christians, the blood of Christ, as a concept, assures them that they are forgiven completely, irrevocably, authoritatively. The concept is copacetic, working well psychologically. Whew, no guilt. And theologically, wow, if only Christ's blood brings forgiveness, then Christ is essential. No arguing about that now. He's the ultimate final sacrifice. While I agree with the relief of being totally forgiven and with the recognition of the unsurpassed greatness of Christ, I wrestle with the relationship between forgiveness and bloodshed. During his years of public ministry, Jesus was full of forgiveness. Think of being crucified and praying, quote, "Forgive them," unquote. He never said, quote, "When I shed my blood for you, then you'll really be forgiven," unquote. No, he said, quote, "Your sins are forgiven," unquote. On one occasion, that forgiveness was followed by a scandal. Quote, "Some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" Unquote. Mark 2. Even the complaint by the teachers of the law, quote, "God alone can forgive sins," unquote, takes no recourse to the requirement for shed blood. At this point, let me make clear I do not doubt the importance of Jesus' death. By becoming a human and willingly dying, his death brought to a representative end the fallen race that we know as humanity. He brought the spiritually dead lineage from Adam to death so that he could start a new spiritual race with his resurrection. With my whole heart, I believe. My struggle is the concept that God needs blood to be shed in order to forgive. I want to honor anyone who suffers for me, perhaps especially anyone who sheds blood for me. So much more do I want to honor the Son of Man, Jesus, who was nailed to the cross for me. He actually was nailed to the cross because he defied religious authorities and chose to suffer rather than call on angels to rescue him. In some way, he went through this suffering to redeem humanity. I belong to humanity, so he died in part, howsoever small, for me. I don't have to know how something works to appreciate it. Where I struggle is with the assertion that, quote, "without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin," unquote. Leviticus 17:11, Hebrews 9:22. This is a celebrated statement among Christians, now and in the past. But it can be, and is, used to imply that the Father cannot forgive without first seeing something die. That something can be an animal sacrifice, Leviticus, or the sacrifice of his son, Hebrews. I'm troubled because I've been redeemed, that is, because the Logos lives within me. I have to know something is moral in order to appreciate it. I have cried out for guidance. It seems a terribly narrow path. On one side, the possibility of discounting the role of the blood of Jesus in redemption. On the other, the possibility of seeing God the Father as a being who cannot simply forgive, but must have his Son's blood shed in order to forgive, reducing this Father to the level of dozens of pagan deities for whom humans have been sacrificed. Most Christians say it is because God is so just, so holy, that he needs to have a death in order to forgive. I doubt they actually are thinking about what they are saying. Not certainly thinking about what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. When he says for us to be perfect, he refers to his Father who blesses the just and the unjust. As James put it, mercy triumphs over justice, James 2:13. So, playing the justice-holiness card to justify the need for a victim simply doesn't work. Think about it. Jesus was holy, and yet he had no difficulty coming close to and touching the unholy people he encountered. His love was sufficient apart from the shedding of blood. The blood was a result, not a cause for that love. A sinful person may have trouble getting close to a holy being, as Peter did, but a truly holy being has no problem getting close to a sinful person. But I'm not satisfied by ignoring the attention the New Testament puts on the blood of Jesus. It certainly means more and does more than I realize. Yet it cannot mean what many Christians say, not if the rest of the gospel is to remain intact. Jesus said both, "If you see me, you've seen my Father," and "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The blood of Christ, then, has a paradoxical place in my mind. It is more important than I realize, and yet in no way suggests that our Father and his Son lack the virtue that Jesus commanded all of us to practice. Here, for now, I end with what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, Book 2, Chapter 4. Quote, "The central Christian belief is that Christ's death has somehow put us right with God and given us a fresh start. Theories as to how it did this are another matter. A good many different theories have been held as to how it works. What all Christians are agreed on is that it does work. Theories about Christ's death are not Christianity. They are explanations about how it works. The various churches will all agree that the thing itself is infinitely more important than any explanation that theologians have produced. I think they would probably admit that no explanation will ever be quite adequate to the reality. A man can accept what Christ has done without knowing how it works. Indeed, he certainly would not know how it works until he has accepted it." Unquote. This recording was made February 10th, 2024, and the post can be found on my website, mygod.myplaza.xyz. Thank you.